You're tuned into the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show.
Scorenotes.com would like to welcome composer John Murphy.
Hello, John. Thank you for joining us tonight. How's everything?
Great, great. Nice to meet you.
Likewise, thank you. I'd like to start our discussion off with The Last House on the Left. What were some of the scoring opportunities about this film that interested you?
To be really honest with you, the main thing that interested me in doing the film from a musical standpoint was actually to work with Dennis, you know. I'd seen the first film he made, Hardcore, and I loved it. You know, it felt like something that I could do something different on, you know, that kind of style that he did for that film, and I was hoping that, you know, he would kind of follow that through on Last House, you know, which, you know, of course he did. For me, I think the main thing is always the director. If I feel that it's a director that is going to let me try things out, you know, and let me try and do a few different things and experiment, then that becomes more important than the actual movie, because, you know, you can kind of, you know, you can reimagine any type of film, you know, same as your own film. And, you know, that was the thing that really interested me, was just the fact that it looked to me from my conversation with him and when I met him that he was going to be a director that would kind of let us just mess around at the first, you know, and try some different things and just see what happened. And, you know, I was right, he was that kind of director. So, you know, that was the main thing. And then when he showed me the film, I loved it straight away. I mean, I loved what he was doing with the pacing and the fact of it felt very European to me. You know, it's a style I love, you know. I mean, I love a lot of kind of European genre films of the 60s and early 70s. And once we got talking about that, and he kind of, you know, we pushed out, loved a lot of the same films, you know, and we loved that whole kind of 70s American kind of style for kind of more thriller stuff and sort of horror stuff. You know, like Rosemary's Baby and, you know, that kind of stuff, which, where horror films were kind of approached musically in a, I think, a much more melodic way, you know, more thematic and more melodic and more lyrical even. And when he said, you know, he really wanted it to feel organic, then, you know, we got excited at the thought of not doing something that was like a usual kind of horror film now and trying to treat the music as if it was, you know, kind of old school, you know, kind of lyrical and melodic and quite innocent in places, you know, and that, you know, all of that kind of stuff interested me a lot, so that was the main thing, really.
Yeah, I find with the typical horror scores that come out these days, they play very stagnant. Yours did not. It had a life of its own, so to speak. And part of that, I guess, is the combination of when you combine beauty and dread as two specific components. What is it about that kind of blend that you find creatively motivating?
I think it's a kind of a personality problem that kind of comes out, you know, in some of the scores I've done. You know, I've always leaned towards extremes, you know, not just in music, but in most art. You know, I passionately love the really melodic stuff of, you know, Morricone and John Barry, and I just love that stuff. I love it. You know, but at the same time, I love the really very kind of dark, extreme, kind of explosive or atonal stuff as well, you know. So it's just the stuff in the middle, I think. I think I'm a liability, but, you know. But if it's either side of those, you know, those two things, then I kind of feel at home. I think it's just a personality thing, you know. So, you know, it's why, I mean, I think I'm better when I'm doing films which allow me to hit those two polar opposites, you know, because at some point you kind of become the same thing, you know, because you can't sometimes make a really violent scene even more disturbing by kind of not just underpinning what's there, but by actually juxtaposing it, you know, with really melodic stuff or even innocent stuff. And so I like it when music does that, you know, when it kind of brings something else to the table and it brings another kind of, another colour to it rather than just going with what's there, you know, so, you know, I mean, I just feel comfortable with those kind of extremes, to be honest. The kind of mainstream stuff, I mean, I've obviously done mainstream films and mainstream scores, but I don't think I've done anything that well. It's really the very lyrical stuff and the kind of very dark stuff that somehow I feel a lot more at home with, to be honest.
Does it ever become a bit of a chore or a challenge to labor through more of a mainstream project than it is as something you're more comfortable with, like a film like Last House on the Left?
To be honest, yeah. I mean, it does, you know, I'm a working composer, and you sometimes, you know, you don't always get the films you want to do. You know, you could do some, you know, half a dozen meetings for films that you really, really want to do, and you'll go through somebody else, and so you can't just wait around for 2 years for 28 days to come around, or Sunshine, or whatever. You know, you've got to kind of keep doing what you're doing. So, you know, I'm never going to do anything I hate, you know, but sometimes I've just got to get my head down and do something that's maybe a little bit more mainstream and just be challenged by that, you know. But yeah, it's definitely more difficult, you know. It's easy for me when I feel like I'm in character, you know. I feel more in character with those type of films than with the mainstream films, you know, to be honest. I kind of always feel like when I'm doing something mainstream that there's like 20 other guys who live within a mile of me that would do it better, you know. And I don't like that feeling, you know what I mean? I'd rather be doing the edgy stuff or the very kind of lyrical stuff. Because, you know, you always like doing what you think you can do well, you know. No one wants to do something that you can't feel like they're faking it, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up 28 Days Later. Can you just touch on how influential that film was to the modern horror genre?
I think it's funny because at the time we were doing it, we loved it, you know, but we just didn't think we were going to get away with half of what we were doing. Definitely with the music, you know, and it didn't feel like it was going to be anything other than this kind of cool little weirdly paced kind of thinking man's zombie road movie, you know. Now I can see what, you know, how important the film was. You know, I'm proud of that, you know. I mean, it's great to work on something. And it's even better to think that you kind of didn't sell out, you know. I mean, you know, I honestly tried to do a lot of different things with the score, with the music, with that. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm glad I didn't kind of cop out on it, really, because it's one of the few films where I think I made a proper difference, you know. I think it showed other directors and young directors that within that genre that you can, you know, you can do something different, you know what I mean? It kind of rebooted the whole zombie film in a way, you know, even though technically it's not a zombie film, but in spirit it is kind of, I think it got a lot of people excited again, you know, and it just gave them the opportunity to think, well, maybe there's other ways to do this, you know, maybe we can make these films in a different way, and there's definitely other ways to be scary in a film without putting scary music. And so I think in that sense it kind of hopefully gave a few directors a bit more confidence to just be a bit braver.
Now, working with Danny Boyle on a project like this, you've collaborated with him, of course, on several movies, but how open is he to expressing new and creative musical ideas when it comes to your work?
I mean, I have to give him credit here because he's about as open and about as brave with music as you would ever want a director to be. You know, I've never ever worked with a director that I could almost, you know, not shock. For me, the most inspiring thing with working with him is, you know, he will talk to me about how he wants the movie to feel, and he will talk about what, you know, the kind of themes within the film itself, not musical themes, but he will talk about the themes of the film and the messages of the film, and he will go into this amazing detail how I should do the music. And that is fantastic to a composer, you know. I mean, that's like, to be given the opportunity to go away with this whole amazing level of understanding of what the film is about, but actually to be given the chance to arrive at what it has to do in any single way that you can come up with. I mean, that is just, that's amazing, you know. I mean, and he's, that's how he works, you know. So, you know, he's never once told me how something should be played or how fast or what on. He just leaves it to me and then comes in with a completely open mind, not knowing what the hell he's going to hear. And a lot of stuff he just goes, that's it, don't touch it, don't hear that. You know, I mean, even on 28 Days, some of the tracks that are in there were actually demos, you know. And when I redid them kind of properly, he was like, no, it just doesn't feel like the first thing I heard when I walked in the room. So he's brave, you know. I mean, guys, I mean, you can see that in his filmmaking. But certainly with regard to music, he couldn't really hope for anybody better to work with, because he basically allows you to give it your best shot in whatever way you want, and then he kind of works on it. And, you know, something either works or it doesn't, you know. But he's never ever thrown something out because it was a crazy idea. If it works, it works. You know, I mean, even the end of 28 Days Later, the big climax, you know. I mean, every other director in the world would have been screaming to have a big, fast, climactic, intercutting, 100-mile-an-hour big thing, you know, for the end of that movie. And I was kind of nervous, but I kind of was kind of proud as well when I first played him the In the House in the Heartbeat track. Because I thought, well, if nothing else, I'm going to fail upwards here. Because this is like the last thing you would expect to put on a scene at the end of a film like this. Is this kind of little, slow, radiohead guitar groove, you know. That just kind of very slowly builds and builds and builds. It's the last thing you would think would work, you know. But I thought, well, you know, let's just see how cool he really is, you know, and just see if he pulls me up here. But just typical Danny was like, it's great, can we start it slower, you know. I think the only time I ever fall out with him is when I do something obvious, you know. And then he's like, that doesn't even sound like you. You know, so we know he's amazing, but I mean, he couldn't hope for more, really.
Another notable director that you've worked with is Guy Ritchie. Can you describe what his style was like when you were working with him?
Guy is a one-off, you know. Absolutely fantastic to work with in a completely different way. He's very dynamic, you know. You know, I mean, in some ways he's similar because he kind of leads you to it as well, you know. Guy's very conscious of, you know, 'cause the two films I did with him, Lock, Stock and Snatch. You know, he's really conscious of the comedy and the characters. You know, to him, it's things move in, you know, almost not in three acts in his films. It's like these little kind of sections, you know, and it's all about driving that section and creating an arc and then stopping there and picking up again. So the other, his films have a very different pace to most films, I think. Guy tends to deal with the music with his films in a kind of really strange way. I mean, it works great, but it doesn't really deal thematically, you know, in terms of like, this is an emotion that when this emotion reprises in Act 2, then there'll be a bigger version of this theme. Or, you know, for him, it's all about the characters. So he doesn't really worry about themes as such, as long as the characters have their identity musically. You know, there's no main theme in Lock, Stock, and there's no main theme in Snatch. But to him, it's all about kind of building up the comedy with these characters. You know, usually on a film, you know, you kind of become obsessed with the mechanics of how the score is working. You know, you kind of pace it out and you figure out, okay, that's going to reprise here, that's going to be a variation of this there, and that's going to kind of, that's got to resolve here. You know, so there's always mechanics going on that you're always kind of conscious of normally. But we just don't get into that on his films, you know. He doesn't really care. He's really about the kind of comedy. You know, it's all about the beats, the spaces you leave in the music, where you come back. AI, it's much more about the rhythm of the score and how it works with the rhythm of the scenes and how things work with the comedy. You know, and it's almost like, I mean, you can see that in how he edits as well. I mean, he edits in a strange way. But that style, I mean, it works fantastic, you know, and you just got to kind of forget a lot of the rules when you work with him as well and just go, well, you know, I trust you, so if you want to just try something like that here and never hear it again, then let's just do it, you know. So, you know, very different kind of director, but, you know, just, you know, another director that does things his own way, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose there's something to be said for directors who really have a clear vision of what they're expecting, and I suppose that makes your job easier, too.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing you can have with a director is somebody who, you know, is kind of too nice, you know, who, you play something to them and, you know, they're not sure, and then they try to not hurt your feelings, you know, and go, well, maybe if you do this, or maybe if you try this, or maybe, you know, I mean, with Daniel Guy, it's dead simple, yes or no, you know. The worst feeling is when you come on a film and you suddenly find out that the director's kind of, you know, he just doesn't really know what he wants to do, or, you know, he hasn't worked it out yet, because you've either got to kind of take control, you know, you've got to go, okay, we've got 6 weeks to do this, what's our best shot, let's go with it this way, and let me figure out that stuff, and then you tell me if you work, if, you know, if you think it works, but you try and get off the film, basically, because usually the few times of, you know, I've done films like that where the director really, really doesn't know what he wants. It ends up being 5 times the work, and it always ends up a mess, to be honest.
Yeah, best to be up front, get it all out so you could do what you do best.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be straight, you know? I mean, it's... Working on a film score, you've almost got to forget the first 10 years of knowing a director. You've got to really jump in as if you've known them all your life, because you're going to have a very intense 6 or 8 weeks with them. You can't, you know, you can't be polite about stuff. You've got to say what you want to say fast and get your point across fast, because there's never enough time. So you need to just, I mean, I try to say up front, you know, it means to say, look, you know, if we're going to do this, just, you've got to be straight with me from day one, you know, let's just not waste time, let's just tell me if something thinks working or I don't think it's working. Let's just be really, really straight with each other, you know, even if it's just in the privacy of our studio, we just got to be straight, you know. You know, I mean, most of them get it, but some guys just get a bit, as I say, they get scared of hitting the ceiling, and it kind of usually ends in a disaster.
that's not the goal, I'm sure.
No.
But before we kind of wrap up and see what else you're up to for the rest of the year, I do want to compliment you on your portfolio of work, and also the surprising score for Millions, which I thought was very charming and very effective. And can you kind of just gloss over that score for us?
I mean, to be honest, I love doing Millions. It's actually one of my favorites. For me to be able to sort of sit down and write stuff, you know, very purely and innocently, you know, without having to be ironic or cynical or cool. I mean, it's a joy, you know. I mean, there's nothing like better than sitting at a piano and just writing simple tunes. You know, I don't often get the chance to do that, to be honest, because people kind of see me as being, you know, the edgy guy or something. You know, and for some reason, I love writing any music from a jazz perspective. You know, Liam was the same. The film I did with Stephen Frears, that was all from a kid's perspective, and you just get a lot of freedom, you know, to write hard rock music when you do those kind of films. You know, not have to be embarrassed about it. You know, and to be honest, you know, I think a lot of Morricone's most, you know, powerful stuff was written for, you know, scenes that were kind of from a jazz perspective as well, you know. I mean, it's a bit of a European thing, but for me, it's lovely to just sit down and do that kind of stuff. It's just no one ever asked me, you know.
Yeah, for me, I think it's all good. I think music in all forms, there can be something interesting and moving about it. So, yeah, again, I do want to compliment you on that score. That is one of my favorite works of yours.
Oh, cheers, Tom. Thanks for that.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And to look forward now to the rest of 2009. Now, I know you've just finished this Last House on the Left project. What else might be going on for you the rest of the year?
The next film out is a film called Armored, which is directed by Nimrod Antal. It is a really cool kind of European style kind of heist movie, mostly set in a warehouse with Jean Reno and Matt Dillon and Laurence Fishburne, which is, you know, I got to do a really kind of full on, you know, a lot of atonal punky metal guitar things, you know, really, you know, really overdriven stuff, very, you know, frantic stuff with a lot of guitar feedbacks and stuff, and you know, I love doing that stuff as well, you know. It's kind of the opposite of Millions, but it's a really kind of extreme little score, a really nasty little score, you know.
Got some attitude to it, huh?
Oh yeah, I love it, you know. I mean, it kind of gets loud and then gets twice as loud and then really gets louder, you know, and sort of there's this kind of crescendo-y shape to a lot of the scenes, which obviously I love doing that sort of stuff. It's a dead cool little film, you know. It's really tight and very exciting, and great director, Nimrod, great young director. And then there's a cool little edgy kind of indie comedy with Ice Cube and Mike Epps, which is coming out soon, called Janky Promoters. And I've worked with Cube on a few films before, you know, and he's one of the nicest guys. He's one of the coolest guys I've met over here, you know. So it was great to work with him again. And, you know, I haven't done any comedy stuff since, like, I don't know, you know, sort of Lock, Stock and Snatch, I don't think. So it was good to, you know, not do something that was kind of apocalyptic, you know. I went through this phase of, like, doing, you know, everything was kind of cool hats and guns and stuff like that, and then I became somehow the kind of apocalyptic horror boy, you know, where the world was going to end. It was nice to take a break and just do some kind of edgy little comedy, you know. And then, so then two it out in the next few months. And then, to be honest, just a little secret, no one knows this yet. I'm actually going to, I'm going to take the rest of the year off to put some of my own stuff out.
Oh, nice, nice.
So you've got an exclusive here, Tom.
Fantastic, breaking news.
Yeah, it's you, my wife, and my engineers know this. But
it's a close circle.
That's it. So no, I've been promising myself to do this for a couple of years now, you know. There's just a lot of little kind of crazy ideas and little things I wanted to do, and, you know, so I set my, you know, I set my record label up to sort of put this stuff out, so... So I'm really looking forward to that, really, you know. You know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, whenever you're working on any film, there's always certain things you kind of write while you're in the flow, you know. You're kind of supposed to be doing this scene. It's really important, and you've got to have a finish for 9 a.m. But it's like 4 a.m, and you drank half a bottle of vodka, and you just be like writing something else, you know, because you're in that mood the way you do. So a lot of those little kind of things I'd kind of quickly just jam out in half an hour and put them aside, you know, for when I wanted to just put some of my own stuff out, you know, and a lot of that stuff I think is better than the film stuff, really, in my opinion, anyway. So I'm finally going to start putting all these vodka-driven little kind of pieces together in the next couple of weeks and see what I've got. But, so that's what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the year, is just putting some of these little albums together and if 7 people will buy them, you know. But, you know, sometimes you got to do something for yourself, Tom, you know. You know, you kind of, as much as you get a lot of freedom when you do this job, and I'm lucky I get, you know, I seem to get a hell of a lot more freedom than most film composers I know. But even though you get that freedom, you still, you know, you still got a job to do, and you still have to deliver what you have to deliver, you know, and... You know, it does get frustrating sometimes when you just think, God, why can't I just finish this cool little tune I just wrote, or why can't I see what I can do with this? And so I kind of have to give myself a few months just to get it on the system, really. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the year. That and playing Lego with the kids.
Both sound equally as fun, that's for sure.